Hi. I left you like the 20-pound book, so you really don't need to hear much from me. But thank you. I don't know. This is sort of inappropriate, probably. Do you realize how lucky you guys are? I just came from Illinois where they're talking about not being able, that a company providing baby ventilators to hospitals is no longer going to deliver them because they don't think the state can pay them. Right? You know, we talk about in Dallas where they've just finished cutting the 30% budget on top of the 30% budget cut on top of the 30% budget cut. There is an amazing opportunity that you guys have available to you when we talk about the future. So I just wanted to quickly get that in, which is I'm just sitting here when Annie talks about if you hear what's going on in other states. I hear what's going on in other states, and coming here is like, oh, my God, construction money, oh, my God. Do I need to use a microphone, or can you? I'm, you know, a loud New Yorker. Normally, not a problem to be heard. All right. So, the future of librarianship. Whenever I'm presented with a topic like this, this is of course the first thing that pops into my mind. This is from the paleofuture.com, and if you haven't seen the blog, go see the blog. And this is from the February 1st, 1939 issue of Vogue. All right. The 21st century man, Gilbert Rode, banishes buttons, pockets, collars, ties. The man of the next century will revolt against shaving.
Yes!
to wear a beautiful beard, says the designer of boilers, pianos, clocks, and metal furniture. His hat will be an antenna snatching radio out of the ether. His socks disposable. His suit minus collars and buttons. And so, you know. All right. I feel as a man of the future, I'm able to have this conversation. Someone called me a futurist at some point, and it's just not true. I do want to talk about the future, but I don't want to predict it because this is cliche. I'll just give you what the future is, and then I can sit down, and Stephen will have more interesting things to say to me. This is the future. All right. Now, if you want to look for a more cliched opening slide, I dare you. Right? I'm the future. Yeah, you're the future. But it's true. And what's very interesting about this is that I wanted to spend a little bit of time, and I'll sit down, talking, putting some meat around this concept. But it really is true. And so when I get up and talk about, do you know what you've got in front of you? It's not the fact that you have more money to build buildings. It's not the fact that you still have collection budgets. It's not the fact that you even have a catalog. What you have is a foundation to truly shape the future of librarianship. Notice I didn't add the tagline, in Delaware. You really are in a position, unlike any other state in the union, to shape where we go. You have the ability to get together. You have the ability to share resources. You have the ability to actually put in place resources. That's an amazing combination. But what's not going to happen is those resources aren't going to energize and make themselves happen unless people do it. So you are the future of libraries. There's the cliche. Now let's build into it. So let me do the little scenario thing, because oftentimes I'm called to talk about what is the future of libraries, and I put this one up, right? Apps will replace books as the primary means of distributing content. Apps will exist in walled gardens. Information will become a commodity traded for privacy and attention. Proprietary interests will be the sole stewards of that. And a few libraries will continue to exist primarily as archives of unique content staffed by subject experts. Ready? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? Thank God! Right? But here's the deal. I mean, so I work with doctoral students, and trust me, I work with master students, and so those wonderful scholarships, come to Syracuse, you can do it at a distance, it's lovely. But I work with doctoral students too, so we teach them to, you know, go think big and such. What we do is we ruin their home life and then send them out to a job market that looks even worse than the library one. And they sit there and they think that their job is to predict the future, and this is what they do. They draw this nice little graph and say, well, I read all the literature and I looked at all the data, and this is where we are. And if everything keeps going, this is where we go. And they walk away. And they never ask this question. Are you okay with that? You have read, you have heard, you have looked in the literature, and you hear trend after trend after trend. You look at statistical line after statistical line. E-readers are going this way. The number of e-books that Amazon sells now exceeds all other formats. You see things like the number of portable machines. You look at demographics. You look at all of this. And they say, therefore. Well, here's the problem with a therefore statement. It assumes that there's this direct causality between where things are going and where they end up. As my favorite fictional character, Doctor Who, once said, a straight line may well be the shortest path between point A and point B, but it is the least interesting. You can control those trend lines. You put forward and make them happen. This legislation, brilliant legislation, did not sort of magically appear. It took champions. It took people all over to say, this is what we want to do. So, are you okay with a future in which this information ends up in these nice little stockpiles where you don't know who looks at it and what they do with it, and you're just fine that, oh, I've got an e-book, I don't need anything, and whatever it is. Are you okay with that? Because here's the big thing. You are not a user. Computer scientists and drug dealers have users. You aren't it. And you're not a customer. You're not a consumer, you're a participant in control of your world and shape it, and so are the people you serve. I can't say this loud enough. If you consider the epitome of what you do to be a good buying agent for your community, if you consider the ultimate expression of learning is so someone can go out and be a better consumer in the world, you have succeeded already, you might as well fold it up. I think that's a pretty low goal. Librarians can shape the future that they are part of. That's why I sort of use Joan Fry Williams' phrase, I don't like patrons because I don't like do 18th century painting. I don't like users. I don't like customers. We have members. Right? She was putting together a strategic plan. I said, well, what do we call them? She goes, I got an idea. Let's go ask them. She went out to the floor and said, what do you want us to call them? They said, we're members. I got a card. Right? I pay taxes. I pay my dues. This is partly mine. So you are the future and your communities are the future. And when we talk about this, this idea that we're in the entertainment business, garbage. We're not training people who are being pacified by reading. I want to be real clear. When you talk about literacy, if what your goal is reading, that's not enough of a goal. Why are they reading? Is it so they don't notice what else is going on? Or is it so that they can be an active participant in the world around them? So, if you expect that of your community, you must expect that of yourselves. And to be honest, this is the worst question ever. Ever. I'll tell you why. We need to reframe it. What is the future of libraries? This is the first part. Is. This assumes that it's going to happen to us, that there is a future, that future is coming at us, and that all we can do is sort of wait and prepare. I was in a meeting with academic libraries, and we were talking about how professors are busy doing things that don't look like journal articles anymore. We do blogs, and we do speeches, and we do talks, and what do we do with all that stuff? And the library said the thing, this librarian said something that just chilled me to the bone. Well, we'll wait until they figure it out, but we've got to be ready to collect it. I said, are you nuts? You're going to wait for me to figure this crap out? You know, if it doesn't hit tenure, I don't care. As soon as that article has a citation to it, I don't even care what I wrote. It doesn't even matter if it was right. Right? The three best ways of getting cited. Say it first, say it last, or say it stupid. And I have mastered my career on the latter. So it's not what is the future of libraries. It's what should be the future of libraries. What do we want? And that's not a building's determination, and that's not a city council's determination completely. That's our determination to be proactive. And by the way, as librarians, 100 years ago, Carnegie built buildings. Today we need to build librarians. It's a good group. All right. So we need to talk about, because I'll give you a hint. All these things can do is exert gravity and decay. There are no libraries in this room. They can't move. They're stuck with ivy and foundation stones. If you have a mission that says, the library shall change the mission. The library can't do squat. The librarians of Dover will. The librarians of, the staff of, people make things happen. And in a democracy, I think so often we forget this word. We were just having this conversation in Illinois. And in Illinois, we were talking about, what's the elevator speech? The elevator speech used to be, all the resources at your finger, anytime you need it, let's go. And now, we don't even believe that. Or, if that is the ultimate mission, other people are doing it a little better. But you know what they're not doing? Preparing active citizens that engage their passion and make it happen. We are not trying to prepare citizens who are an audience member to our governments. We are trying to prepare citizens who govern. We are not trying to prepare people who are spectators to the future, but architects of the future. And democracy is why we are here. Why do we learn? So that we can form our own destinies. Good God. Now, people hear that and go, destinies, democracy, whatever. The truck's not here with the books yet. That's my problem today, right? It's really easy to go, this idiot's come to the reference desk again, and unfortunately, I can't refer him to a shower, right? I know the life you work in. But if you're stuck in the mire of your day-to-day how you do it, you forget why you do it. And this is our ultimate goal. Annie, the statistic that just popped into my mind was that we have more engagement in learning hour by hour than our schools do. What an amazing, amazing opportunity. What are we going to do with it? Are we going, and by the way, I'm not against fiction. I'm not against entertainment. I'm all for learning. I learn most of my, most about myself when I read fiction. You know, when I read My Name is Asher Lev as a teenager who liked art, it was like, that's me. And I learned from that. But so it's not the book that we handed them. It's not even whether they enjoyed it or not. It's like, are you a better person for doing this? And why don't we make that our outcome? So we need to refine this question. This is really an interesting moment, an opportunity for us to do it, because the changing nature of your job, of your position, of your place in that library. We are now unshackled from a collection. Remember when we had to put a diesel engine in front of the books to drive it to people? Right? Called bookmobiles. Of course, this is Delaware. They could have driven to us. But anyway, this is what you need now. And unlike a diesel truck, you can take this into a living room. You can take this into a boardroom. You can take this into a community center. You can take this into a Boy Scout meeting. You can take this all over the place. You can take your skills and yourself and your potential solutions to the world. When we talk about broadband, and now we have broadband, I've heard people get up, oh, broadband's great. It's like the information, it's like the Autobahn. We used to have a dirt road coming in, now we got the Autobahn coming in. I see librarians going, and we see headlights headed at us. The key of broadband is not the fact that we can put more junk into your libraries, it's so that we can unleash the Dover residents on the rest of the world, the Delaware residents on the rest of the world, the Wilmington residents on the rest of the world. They can take their passion, their understanding, their thoughts, and they can project now far beyond their community that they ever could do before. Our communities are our collection. We need to give up collection development and start talking about connection development. If the amount of time you took in dusting and sorting and shelving your stuff, you devoted to learning and listening and working with your community, imagine the power we would have. Right? You are the ascending resource of the library, unlike your collections. If you haven't hit it yet, you will soon hit the point where your collection statistics will start doing, your circulation statistics will start doing this. Right? And then they'll start doing this. If you're not seeing it, it's because your population's growing, not because your per capita usage is growing. Your databases are going like this. Right? Why is that? Well, people can get it anywhere. People can get it in different ways. The collection is no longer, I would argue never was, your primary resource. When you talk about your assets, you're it. I talk to CIOs, I talk to people in industry, and they say, we need librarians. And they use the word librarians. We need people to help us organize the information. We need people to answer our question. We need people to do research. We need people who understand what we do and how we can do it better. You're the ascending resource of the library. The library is the infrastructure and tools that you use to do your job. It is not your job. That changing tool set, that changing nature, does not change our mission. Our mission remains the same. The mission of librarians, not a library, not a building, of librarians, of you, is to improve society. Feel free to just stop it right there. Improve society. That's our grand goal. Not to increase this number, increase this stack, build this thing. It's to make our communities better, to allow them to make better decisions. How do we do that? Facilitating knowledge creation in their communities. When the 10-year-old comes in and loves snakes and wants to learn more about snakes, we help them. When the unemployed person comes in and looking for a job, we give them not only the resources, but we need to give them the respect and dignity they need to do that. When the physicist comes in and looks for the next invention, we help them. We facilitate knowledge creation. We don't educate. We don't provide access to. God knows we don't inform. What a horrible word, inform. It is the closest thing we have to a transient verb. Right? I informed them. What does that mean? Well, I ran over their dog and I sent them an email. That inform doesn't mean anything. We engage. We're active. And that means if we're in the knowledge business, and that whole book talks about what that means, we need to assess that. Not what's our count, not what's our gate count, not what's our book count. We need to engage. Did this community learn more? 100 years ago, Andrew Carnegie built libraries. Everyone's familiar with this phrase, or this quote. There's not such a cradle of democracy on the earth as a free public library, the republic of letters where neither rank, office, nor wealth receives slight consideration. Good words. Not my favorite Carnegie quote. This is my favorite Carnegie quote. Take away my people, but leave my factories, and soon grass will grow in the factory floors. Take away my factories, but leave me my people, and soon we will have a new and better factory. Andrew Carnegie, 100 years ago, as he was raping and pillaging his way through capitalism, saw that you were the primary resources. Barbara Quinn once compared a closed library at night to a coral reef, a beautiful piece of architecture that grew from life, but when devoid of life, just a piece of architecture. It's the librarians that add the life. It's our members when they come in. It's our communities that add that life, that beauty, that color. It's ultimately them that make it happen. The same can be said of our librarians. And our librarians have to work in direct conjunction with our communities. The future of Delaware, the future of any state, is no longer what we can pull from the ground. It's no longer in what we grow. It is in the ideas and aspirations of our community. The future of Delaware has nothing to do with the skyscrapers that we send into the stratosphere. It has to do with the communities, their innovation, their entrepreneurship, their potential. And that is the space you own. You have the ability to work with you, to work with your communities, to understand what you want to be. The greatest threat to librarianship is not Amazon or Google or dot whatever. It is a lack of imagination. It is a lack of aspiration. It is the belief that what you do defines why you do it. That is not the case. You can change anything. Change cataloging. Do we have to have a collection? Do we need to have story hour? All of that needs to be open for discussion, because what's not open for discussion is that we will improve our communities, and we will do it through knowledge, not entertainment, not artifacts, not stuff, but through our own actions. That is what we can do. That is what we are called to do. And that is what it means to be a librarian. And those of you in the audience who are not librarians, you are our partners. You are the people that we are going to depend on, because we can't do it alone. Thank you very much. I'll give you that.
Stop real fast.